You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. I invite you to stick around. Karen Kyle is retiring from the San Luis Obispo Museum of Art after 20 years of service as the executive director. We'll find out what's happening with the museum at 4:05. Then Tom Franciscovich goes through the current issue of Slow Life magazine with us. We're back with Craig Dingman. He lives right around the corner from this brand-new luxury hotel that is getting ready to open in San Luis Obispo. And whether you're for it or against it, it's going to change things. On the Stolberg Law KVC text line, listener writes, it's the Carlton Hotel and Atascadero all over again. Way overpriced restaurant. The whole property will be overpriced and empty. What say you, Craig?
I think there's a lot of differences between this and the Carlton Hotel, just by location alone, and also by the Carlton Hotel was built by a novice to the industry. This seems to be a pretty savvy group of people building it who have hotels around the all around, and they may have spotted things that I don't spot as just a person living off of my investments and good luck.
Yeah, so different management.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Piazza Hospitality, which is a group behind this, mm-hmm. they've opened hotels in other towns in California.
Yeah. And like I say, there's so many changes. If you drive out to the Marigold Center and you're near the Diego Garcia soccer fields, it's like Southern California down there. That's kind of a different lifestyle than we associate with San Luis Obispo downtown.
Another listener texting in on the Stolberg Law KVC text line. I've curtailed my visits from Roy Grande. Two-hour street parking is extremely hard to find in San Luis Obispo. I do use the parking garage on Palm, but I have an ankle problem, and hiking three stories is hell. Perception is reality in my experience. The perception is that there is no parking in San Luis Obispo, and that perception is spreading.
I think I agree with that. You know, the Tribune may be right. There's some vacant spots at the corner of Napomo and
Palm.
But if you've gone shopping, most of the stores are more up near Morro, uptown.
Unless you're going to go shopping at the Children's Museum. We got Ron and Roy Grande on KVEC. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm great.
You know, the $400 start, if that's, I mean, if they don't discount it at all, they're going to be in trouble. I mean, you know, you can go up to San Francisco, and I've gone up there and stayed at the Omni Hotel through Priceline and got it for like $250 a night, and they're advertised $400 plus a night, and so many other ones, different Hyatts and stuff, and this is not San Francisco, thank God, but when it comes to upper scale hotels, there's a lot up in San Francisco, and not many of them are above $500. So that's the way I look at it. I'm sure there's a handful that are 800 and above up in San Francisco, but here I just don't see how they're going to keep it going at $400 a night.
I think it's going to be pretty challenging, Craig Dingman.
Oh, yeah, and I think I agree with the caller that they'll be discounted and it'll be on Priceline and all those services. And I even looked... I put in some dates in August that you can get the rooms already as low as $390.
Such a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Hey, Ron, what about the restaurants? Are you going to put in an Italian restaurant and a steakhouse?
Well, you know what? We've been here 28 years, and we moved up from Belmont Shores area, Orange County, and prices, we thought they were high then. Compared to now, they were all low. But we moved up here, and we were just absolutely just enjoyed going out to dinner for under $20, nice restaurants and things else like that. Now time goes, passes, and yes, the prices go up and everything, but gosh, you go out to, I don't care if it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you know, you better be making good salaries up here to go out, I don't want to say frequently, but we don't go out often anymore. It's just, it's cheaper for us to go to Costco and buy some prime steaks and bring them home and cook it than it is to go out and to some of these restaurants and buy, say, a top sirloin steak or whatever, if that. I don't know. I'm sure Italian and a steakhouse, it just the word steakhouse means expensive to me.
Exactly.
You know, I don't care if you go to Las Vegas. You know, Las Vegas used to be, you can get a meal for next to nothing. And now they got all these steakhouses that cost you $40, $50 for a steak.
They're not going to charge you $400 a night for a hotel room and not let you get off easy in the restaurant. That doesn't take rocket sciences. All right, Ron, good to hear from you. I mean, that's the bottom line, Craig.
Yeah, well,
expensive rooms, expensive menu.
Yeah. I don't eat steak anymore, but I think the steaks are now in the $30 to $35 range for a steak dinner.
Five,
I know the Madonna
50,
Inn is, yeah.
I've seen them 50, 55.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to your phone calls. Craig Dingman is here, 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Picking up on a conversation we had during the 6 o'clock hour Friday night, whether or not there's sufficient parking in downtown San Luis Obispo. And also now this luxury hotel that's getting ready to open in June, right next to the Palm Theater, $400 to $1,100 a night, and they're adding two upscale restaurants, a steakhouse and an Italian restaurant. I don't get either one of those. And you also want to talk about the architecture style.
Well, it's boring from what I can see so far. It's and looking around town, if you look at all the developments coming into town, there was a time when I'm not an architectural critic. Well, I am an architectural critic. I'm just not a trained architectural critic.
Yeah.
But now everything's going for these kind of box geometric shapes. And the best ones have some contrast of color and texture. But this particular one, both in its mock-up and the way it's starting to look, seems a little unexciting to me and a little bit out of place. But that's just one of my pet peeves. If you're going to do something upscale, I mean, you talk about competing with Giuseppe's. Look at the building that Giuseppe's is in. It's a kind of a gem. Yeah,
historic.
Yeah, and
as you pay when you go to Giuseppe's for dinner, that's part of what you're paying for is the experience of having dinner in that historic building.
Yeah,
atmosphere is everything. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. We invite your participation in this conversation. I posted this on Facebook, and I'm going through the comments. And what stands out for me, Craig, is how many people want this hotel to fail. I don't think that's the right attitude. With me, I'm more like I'm kind of scratching my head. I'm surprised. I'm curious. I'm not sure how it's going to work, but I don't want them just to fall. Because we all suffer then.
Yeah, we don't want blight. You know, that's the problem with people say let the marketplace decide. But the marketplace has no wisdom. It only has reaction. And so if you build something big and it fails, you end up with blight. So we don't want it to fail. We want it to succeed. But we want it to maybe tone it down a little bit, and at least in terms of service and affordability kind of fit more into the neighborhood.
Off the Stahlberg Law KVC text line, Patty writes, for $400 a night, I'd want the steak delivered to my room with a chocolate lava cake. For $1,000 a night, there'd have to be a super legitimate deep tissue massage and a lobster to go with that steak. She counters it by saying, the positives are the revenue that will come to local businesses.
I hope so. I'm hoping that my friends at Mihang Lo will see a lot of escapees from the hotel, at least for their lunches. And if you're going to be at a hotel like that for several nights in a row, and you've got Blue, you've got Buena Tavola, you've got Giuseppe's, you've got Luna Red, you've got the Flower House,
Creaky, a lot of good places.
Yeah.
So talk about the transition that you see taking place in downtown.
Well, it's
the new era.
Yeah, it's not a town of shops and trades anymore. And if you look at historical pictures from the 50s, even our main department stores and things were down there. There's boutiques and there's eateries, basically, and drinkeries. And the downtown seems to be hopping most of the time to me. I like Sunday evenings used to be an evening when we would say go out and figure it to be a little bit quiet, but it's usually...
So what is it? So what would we call this? I mean, to me, it's an era where we have new scale of buildings, different types of buildings, emphasis, more high end, more national chains.
Yeah. Also, one of the unifying themes of a lot of what's going on in town is what they call mixed use. So there's going to be apartments and the like above a commercial space. So it's kind of like we're gearing up for the downtown to be an urban lifestyle, a metro lifestyle. And we're going to have all these satellite sub-communities, which people will live in. I don't think they'll work there necessarily, but they'll live and shop and recreate without ever venturing into the downtown.
Like micro neighborhoods.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's one thing we don't have downtown is a grocery. So we have to go, the closest grocery to us would be Smart and Final up on Johnson. Or usually I go to Vaughn's. So those neighborhoods all have those essential services that we don't have downtown.
Craig Dingman on Hometown Radio talking about what's happening in downtown San Luis Obispo. And a little bit about this article in the Tribune about the brand new luxury hotel that's coming. One of three getting ready to open up. Welcome back for a final segment. You're listening to AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk KVEC.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes.
Top of the Arts, ABC Radio News. Then we'll be joined by Karen Kyle from San Luis Obispo Museum of Art. She's also downtown. We're in our final segment with Craig Dingman. If you want to join us, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. We're continuing our conversation about everything happening downtown. Tribune had an editorial the other day that there's plenty of spaces downtown. They don't know what people are so concerned about. I think we could use more parking because we were promised a parking structure for the intersection of Palm and Napomo. We still don't have that. We have a city government currently that is kind of dragging its feet. They're not sure if they want to build that or not. We had all that parking next to the Palm Theater. We lost all that. We lost Court Street. So where is it that people are to park now? Then we throw in this new hotel, luxury hotel. $400 is the cheap price. Can go as high as $1,100 a night right downtown. This is what you gave up your parking spaces for. And in return, you're going to get an upscale hotel plus a brand new Italian restaurant about a block away from Giuseppe's and also a steakhouse.
Yeah. Well, it's true we don't have a steakhouse downtown, but it's probably because... we don't need one.
Oh, yeah, McClintock's.
Yeah, well, it's yeah,
kind of
that's true. They're bar and grill there, but yeah, you can get steak there.
No one's calling in because they're all looking for parking spaces.
Yeah,
they're trying to find that parking space.
You know, on Thursday nights, farmer market nights, that garage that's next to us, the original Palm Street parking garage, the traffic is backed up trying to get in there, and. The street is inhibited because of the construction.
We got Ron in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Ron.
Oh, how you doing? Hi, your guest.
Hi.
You know, one thing I can't figure out, what the heck the draw is for a hotel like this.
Who's going to stay there?
Everybody I know from the Valley, they come over, they want to be by the ocean, they want to go eat fish and chips, and they want to be on the coast. They don't, I always recommend or suggest, staying in San Luis, but they never do. They always want to go in the coastal town. So I can't understand what the draw would be, what it would bring people to a hotel like that.
I think it's an excellent question, Craig. I would assume that it's people doing business with Cal Poly. I would assume people doing business with the wine industry, and clearly people on business accounts.
True, and then there are a lot of businesses in San Luis now where San Luis is not their customer base. We got, you know, MindBody being a big example. There's a lot of tech businesses. We no longer need to have a port of entry to deliver goods or take goods away from us. And the airport's improving. So I think a lot of the customers are going to be business customers. I'm waiting, you know, because I'm a half block away. So maybe on the weekend there'll be local rates of like $89.90,
yeah,
including a meal.
What else have you, Ron?
That's it. Thank you.
All right, appreciate the call. We got Stu in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Stu.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Stu.
Well, my wife and I just walked around that big hotel this morning. The hotel's slow, and it was anything but near completion, which was kind of a surprise. But
they're talking June. They're saying they're going to open in June.
Well, they're going to have to really put pedal to the metal to do it, and maybe they will. But I think the thing that I was surprised at is, you know, the editorial board of the Tribune, none of them live in town here. The two of them live in Atascadero, one in Arroyo Grande.
That's right.
And they voted with their behavior on the parking issue by moving farther and farther out of town. They just moved from, I mean, they moved from the downtown on Johnson Avenue several years ago down to South Aguirre to a large building with lots and lots of parking. And now they've moved over to the corner of Tank Farm and South Broad Street.
That was the argument I was making on Friday, is that if the Tribune is so concerned about the downtown, here was a perfect opportunity, like New Times, to show their support. New Times is downtown. Why isn't the Tribune?
Yeah, yeah. They should be downtown. And if they were downtown, they'd actually see that there's no available parking in any convenient location. And what they gave us was statistics from the city, and you know those statistics show an average rate of vacancy, but that includes midnight, that includes 10 o'clock at night. The average has nothing to do with where the parking is when you need it during business hours.
I had a guy email me about 10 minutes ago who said that over his lunch hour today, he walked around the parking garages and counted spaces. And he said that there were plenty of spaces. And I wrote back to him and said, okay, now go this weekend at 12:30 and see what you find.
That's right.
Because that's when people are coming from outside the city to do their shopping or whatever they're going to do.
And it's getting harder and harder to get around. The city has very good intentions in some things. You know, it would be nice if we could all have walkable places where we could go, but they seem to be wanting to turn our town into San Francisco. But what they have forgotten is all of the steps it took to get San Francisco to the point where it is now, where they started putting in a really robust public transit system in the 1800s. And, you know, one of my daughters lives in San Francisco, and she can get a pass for $75 a month, and she can take the BART, she can take all of the trolleys, all of the buses, all of the subways, and she can get anywhere in the city within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But that's because they have really worked on having a public transit system. And here, most of the bus routes, they go every hour, which is why you see them empty most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that I observe from my apartment overlooking Morrow Street, is the stream of people who work downtown walking in from further and further away. And now that I'm retired, I enjoy watching people going into work and trudging home. But I'm near the courthouse, of course, and I've met a couple of attorneys at a party, and I said, I see you every morning walking by. And he says, yeah, we're in the public defender's lot, which is way over like on Walnut Street or something, if you can find a space, you know. So,
well, that's why I have my home office right down the block from
me. Stu, anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. I think this is an important discussion, and I of course hope that all these hotels succeed, but I have questions about the pricing as well.
I'm glad you called. Thank you. And of course, as we start to wrap things up here, Craig Dingman, there's nothing that keeps the hotels from realizing, based on early reservations, that their pricing is way out of line.
Yeah,
saying, okay, we'll adjust
if they're in it for the long term. And I think Stu's right about public transportation. We could upgrade the, you know, the little novelty trolley, and if you want to get people around downtown, the city could work on something like that, something that's actually punctual and frequent and useful for someone with a shopping bag full of high-priced boutique goods, or maybe a little takeout from one of our restaurants.
Well, this is what's happening is, as you're well aware, and we had the mayor about a month ago call for a boycott of Amazon because Amazon's killing downtown businesses.
Well, it's the rents, period. I read that in New York City that people who own big buildings put unreasonably high rents to increase the value of the building. They're not so interested in renting it. But there hasn't been any number of businesses downtown that have seemed to be doing boffo business and still went out.
Well, the other part, I think, is the rents are so high because of earthquake retrofitting, mm-hmm. and the cost being passed on by the owner to the renter.
Yeah, perhaps. Yes, perhaps. But some of the buildings, the tenants report like I used to go to a place called the Corner View Bar, and it was always busy.
Yep.
And then apparently
the bar was busy, but never the restaurants.
Well, that's where I went. You know.
Yeah.
it was all kind of people in my age group. You know, so now that went down because their rent apparently went up to something like $10,000 a month. There's this group that I call the Corner View Diaspora. I run into them here and there. You know, everyone's looking for a place. You know,
where everybody knows your name.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
And Craig Dingman, thanks so much for coming in. Good job.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
When's the next time you're at Mihang Lane?
I think it'll be called May 3rd. It'll be the first Thursday in May.
What time do you start performing?
7 to 9.
All right, sir.
Yeah.
Appreciate your time.
Take care.
Off we go. News, traffic, weather. I'm Dave Congleton. 4 o'clock hour begins now.